Morning, church.
Morning.
How are you?
Well, are you?
We come to the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. We come to the end of a glorious sermon, a sermon preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, when Jesus Christ has preached something, I think it is normal to have great anticipation. How is he going to end this? That is what we have before us. Next week, we are taking a break. We won't be on Matthew. We're going to start the week after. But this morning, we continue on our series of studies. Matthew chapter 7, we consider verse 24 to 29. The title of the message, very simple, Build on a Rock. Build on a Rock. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24 to 29, and it reads as following: Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one with authority and not as the scribes. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. As I was saying, we come to the final instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ in his Sermon on the Mount. And his final words here, friends, are all about constructing a structure, constructing a building, constructing a life which will lead to eternal joy. That is what this is about. Constructing a life that will lead to eternal joy. We have to enter by the narrow gate. We have to be aware of false teachers. We have to be aware of false conversion. In other words, it is either we are of the truth or you are against the truth. But above all, what Jesus reveals before us here is that the life we are living right now, the life that we have right now, our journey right now in this world, is a structure. It is a building, a construction that must be built like a tower that must stand still, a life that is built on him. This building is so important for the fact that it will either last forever or it will crumble down. That building is our faith, my friends. He presents to us two kinds of buildings, two kinds of builders, two ways of constructing a building. He says, we as a people, regardless of who we are, regardless of whether we are Christians or not, in general, we as people are all in a process of building, in a process of constructing a certain building, in a process of constructing our faith and our belief. And what matters most, my friend, is how we build. Please hear me right. What matters most is how we build. Yes, it is important that we build. But friends, whether you are building or not building, by default, you are building. A person is walking down the street and have nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, he is building something. He might be building his relationship away from Jesus, but you are building. So the point here is not just the fact that we are building. We are all building. How are you building? That's what matters most. Because that's what is going to determine whether your building stands or it doesn't stand. So the question before us is this, my friend. Are you building a structure which will last forever? Are you building a structure which will stand the test of time? Are you building a structure which will survive the shipwreck of false teachers and false conversion? Is that your faith, my friend? Are you building a structure which will produce a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees? Because every professing Christian in this world has to build in such a way, has to build such a structure. Every Christian in this world has to build a structure that is a life characterized by love, a life characterized by joy, kindness, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is the only life that a Christian can build. That is the only life that is expected from those who are called the children of God. Why? Because they have crucified their lives and the passions of their hearts and the desires of their flesh. While here on earth, these people, they are forever anticipating that coming city, that holy city, that city of the living God, the new Jerusalem that is to come. These are the people anticipating that city in a way that they anticipate the city, then they build their life in a way that will make them, they will make them reach that holy city. And I pray that is what we are doing as the children of God. So, having dealt then with the problem of false prophets and their teachings, also having dealt with the devastating reality of false conversion, Jesus now tends to give a solution, if you will. He gives a way to escape. How are you going to escape false teachers? How are you going to escape false conversion? In other words, how are you going to escape the fact that you might be lying to yourself that you are a Christian when you are not? How are you going to escape this? The first thing he says, you need to build on his word. That's what we see here. You must build on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 24 with me. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Friends, Jesus says here, to build on his word is to hear his word and do it. Remember, there are two things here. I want you to notice that. To hear his word and do his word. He equals that kind of a process, if you will, the hearing and the doing. He equals that to wisdom. So if you claim you are wise, it means you hear and do the word of God. So there's a choice here, friends. A choice that each and every one of us needs to make. And that choice is determined by how you construct your house. Are you going to construct this building wisely or not wisely? You need to make a choice. And that choice requires wisdom. Because wisdom is the most important characteristics that a Christian can ever have. Remember how God was pleased when King Solomon asked just for wisdom. He could have asked for anything, but he asked for wisdom. Why? Because wisdom, friends, is knowledge. Wisdom has to do with knowing God. Wisdom has to do with the fear of God. The reason we don't have the fear of God out there, the reason we don't fear the Lord or have reverence to God, there is no wisdom. We don't hold the word of God on both hands, hearing it and doing it. Jesus says here, that is the first thing you will need to do. So the Christian life, friends, it demands a continuous process of building. And such a process should be a spirit-led process. There has to be that divine intervention, that divine direction that will come into your life, helping the proceedings as it were. There has to be a divine life that comes into your heart, into your life, helping you to construct faith that will last and stand the test of time. There has to be obedience to his word. And friends, then we see that it takes the Holy Spirit It takes God Himself, God the Holy Spirit, to cause man to obey His word. There is no way we obey the word of God when we don't have the Spirit of God. That is why when we have the Spirit of God but then not obey the word of God, we are quenching the Spirit of God. And that is not our function. We are not called to quench the Spirit of God, but to please the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God help us to hear and to do His word. And you can see how important this is, friends. Jesus says here in this verse 24, not all who hears His word do His word. That's what separates the wise and the fools. A wise man is the one who hears Christ's word and do them. He makes that part of his life. And what he's doing is actually the greatest difference we have between the believers and the non-believers. The non-believers might hear, but they may not do. As a Christian, you need to hear and do the word of God. You need to have a life that is influenced by the power of God. A life that is influenced by divine influence, causing you to do His will. In the King James Version, there is a joiner or a conjunction between verse 23 and verse 24. There is a word therefore in the King James, and it has to be there. So you don't see it in your Bible. You see it says in verse 24, everyone then. That then is actually should be in the beginning. Therefore, everyone. There is a therefore there. Why is that important, my friends? It is very important because verse 23 ends on a note whereby we're looking at a prospect of judgment, whereby all false converts will be condemned. So then Jesus is saying here in verse number 24, if you want to escape the jaws of hell, you need to take heed on the word of God. That therefore is connecting something that is before and something that is to come. So if you want to escape that, what we spoke about, if you don't want Jesus to say to you, depart from me, that was last week, therefore you need to hold on to the word of God. But you must hold on to that word while you are alive today. You have to take heed on the word of God. You need to be like the psalmist. The psalmist says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. In another way, in another place, the psalmist says, I delight to your will, O my God. Your word is within my heart. Our hearts must be filled with the word of God, and then we will not be deceived and we will not be lost. Therefore, friends, hearing the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what He demands is true wisdom. That is why the Bible says, then those who have ears, let them hear. We need to have the ears, and these ears will only come by the power of the Spirit, but also continue to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you will have to hear His words, in other words, it means you need to know His voice. You need to know the voice of the one who is from above. You need to determine when Christ is speaking and when man is speaking. Why is that important? There are so many men and women out there claiming to be speaking the voice of the Lord, which is what we've dealt with in the past weeks. So you need to know the real voice of your God and obey only that voice. The emphasis here, friend, is that you must hear and carry out what you hear. I think that is the problem today. We hear, we don't carry out what we hear. You must be both the hearer and the doer. It is a call to obedience, my friend. It is a call for spiritual awakening. You need to be awakened from within your heart. It is the call to walk by the Spirit and not by flesh. It is a call to build according to a specific plan that is set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ, not human wisdom. It is a call not to ask advices from false teachers who are also blind guides. This is a call, my friend, to realize that you definitely need help from above, because without help from above, you will not survive what is happening in this world today. The person then who hears and do Christ's word has the Holy Spirit, as I was saying. He has the Holy Spirit. Why is this important? The Holy Spirit reveals the will of God in your heart. It teaches you and makes you wise to the things of God. It calls you to continue to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in the midst of false teachers and in the midst of false teaching. The Word of God in you, it becomes a living and active agent, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the spirit and the soul and bone and marrow. It makes a difference. You learn to follow the right leader. His word leads you to salvation. But not only does it lead us to salvation, it keeps us in salvation. It keeps you safe, His word. And only His word can keep us saved. That is why, friends, without the word of God, we are lost. Without the word of God, we are nothing. We are vulnerable without the word of God. We will always be like children, as Barbaras was reading in Ephesians chapter 4. We will be like children and be tossed to and fro by every wave and wind of doctrine. We'll be deceived if we don't have the word of God. We need the word of God. The reason why many people are deceived today, it is because they lack God's word in their lives. That is why we insist in the word of God. These people, they don't have the word of God, but they have words from men. They hold on to something that will shake, as the Bible says here. They build on sinking sand. Men's words are sinking sand. They hold to no doctrine that is carefully determined and carefully examined. They hold to anything, never the word of God. And consequently then, they yield to any new doctrine that is coming into the township. They hold on to new opinions and submit to any man that is giving them guidance, even if the guidance is not from the word of God. That is what you see in our day, my friend. People are feasting on the staple diet, the daily diet of false teachers out there, simply because they don't hear the words of Christ. And when they hear the words of Christ, they are not willing to live their lives according to the word of Christ. Are you willing to live your life according to the word of Christ? That's what makes a difference. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does these words of mine, he is like a wise man. Are you a wise man, my friends? You see, in verse number 26, you see the opposite of wisdom, which we know. We see foolishness, the word there, foolishness. It says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, he will be like a fool who builds his house on sand. Friends, it doesn't matter, church, how much wise we may be out there. Maybe you are wise on mathematics at school. Maybe you are wise at work. You are a good manager. Maybe you are wise in general. There are many wise people out there. But friends, no one is wise unless he does the word of Christ. Any person who does not do the word of Christ, regardless of how wise he thinks he may be, he is a fool. He's building on sinking sand. Another reason, you know, that a person who's not holding to the word of God is a fool, is because we know that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. You know that verse in the book of Psalm? It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So when we are not holding to the word of Christ, when we are not abiding in the truth, you are automatically saying, there is no truth, there is no God. You are contradicting yourself when you think there is God, but you are not holding on what is from God. There is no fear with you. There is no wisdom. So, you are a fool. To you, that is just a sign of spiritual blindness. You are a blind person. You begin to think that there is another way than God's way. Friends, there is no other way than God's way. Some people, they think there is the way of the prophets out there. Friends, there is no way of the prophet, only the way of God. That is what we see today. False converts, they hold on to men's words. They would rather suffer shipwreck of false teachers than holding on to the truth. They prefer the way the church does things. Friends, we must not prefer how the church is doing things. We must not prefer how the pastor is doing things. We must prefer how Christ says things must be done and do as Christ commands. If not, we are fools for the fact that we are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And consequently, friends, we will continue living in sin. Once you reject the word of God, you continue to live in sin. Because the word does not impact your life. The word does not profit you with anything. Build on the word of God. Listen to Isaiah 32 verse 6. Listen to Isaiah 32 verse 6. What is God saying here? 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "For the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity." A foolish person is always busy. So friends, like I was saying, we are always building. But here's a foolish person, he is busy building with iniquity. It says here, "The fool speaks folly in his heart, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied." So you stand behind the pulpit, people are hungry for the word of God, you leave them hungry as they were, but you've been speaking words. "And they deprave the thirsty of drink." Jesus says, "Come to me, you who are thirsty, I will give you a drink." But if you are a fool, you go to those people who will deprive you of a drink. And that is the result, friends, of refusing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become vulnerable to sin and to deception. But secondly, not only must you build just on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must build on a solid ground. You also see that in verse number 2. You must build on a solid ground. Let's find out what is this solid ground. It says here in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Church, whatever we do, in whatever we do, there are eternal consequences. There are eternal implications. That is why we need a firm foundation of our faith. So now we're moving from building on the word of God, like the wise person of Psalm chapter number 1, who meditate day and night on the word of God. That is good. But everyone else can read the word of God. Cults read the word of God and claim they're holding on the word of God. What is the difference? You must build on the rock. There must be a solid foundation of your faith. And we know that the foundation, friends, it determines the ability of a structure to withstand the test of time. A foundation determines the ability of any structure. Your faith as a structure can only stand on a solid foundation. And the idea here is that, as I was saying, mere professing of faith doesn't do anything, my friends. Mere profession of faith without genuine believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is just a fast forward button to misery. If you're just professing faith, but you're not holding on and you're not built on the solid ground, you're just helping yourself to get to hell quicker. It is useless and it is hopeless. What must you do? You need to dig deeper. You need to dig and find a rock. That is what you need to do. You need to work out your salvation with trembling and fear. You need to dig deep and find a rock and build there. And by God's grace, friends, this rock is already being determined. It is already known. This rock is already known because it is laid by God. Listen to Isaiah 28 verse 16. It is identified. This rock is known now. It says, Isaiah 28 verse 16, "Therefore, that says the Lord, behold, I am the one who has laid
as a foundation in Zion.
I'm going to repeat that, friends.
Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion, a cornerstone, a tested stone, a precious stone for a sure foundation. Whosoever believe will not be put to shame. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is building on a rock. So the New Testament tells us, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4, what does it say? It says, the rock is Jesus. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is the one in whom we build upon. We're not only holding on weights, but we build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it says here in verse number 25, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat around this house, they beat upon this house. But listen, friends, it did not fall. The house that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ did not fall, because it has been founded on a rock. That is the difference between those who build on sinking sand and those who build on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the difference. Not just your building that you are building. Your building must be built on that rock. That rock makes the difference. Jesus Christ is the one who separates lies from the truth. Jesus is the one who separates from false teachers and the good teachers. Jesus is the divider of human life. Jesus is the difference. There is stability on what is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is saying, there's a time that is coming whereby the storms of this life will come in and beat upon this house. They will beat upon this house. Dark times are coming and the storm will arrive. Some houses will be destroyed, but those who are built on a rock will stand the test of time. I wonder, friends, if you see the assurance that we have on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the certainty that we have on the Lord Jesus Christ? There is something here that you will not have from any other person, but only from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. We have assurance when we build on Him. We have a future when we build on Him. We have eternal consolation, eternal comfort when we are built on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why it says in verse 26, listen to verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool who builds house on a sand. Are you a wise man, or are you a fool? A fool builds on sand. A fool, like we were reading here in the book of Isaiah, a fool looks busy in the eyes of everyone else. The fool looks busy, but he builds to his destruction. Just imagine, you look busy, but you build to your own destruction. He builds on something that will scatter and will never be found again. Look at sand. You cannot guarantee that the sand you see here today you'll find tomorrow. You might find sand here tomorrow, but it may not be the sand of yesterday. When we build away from the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever builds away from the Lord Jesus Christ, he's building on shaking ground, on sinking sand. Something that will scatter, something that will never be found. Something that will never sustain you when the challenges of life come. Verse 27 says, and the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. But here are the words that I want you to notice in verse number 27. Great was the fall of it. We understand that it will fall, but Jesus Christ is putting an emphasis here. Great was the fall of this house. This fall of this house will be seen by many. The fall of this house will be humiliation to the one who built this house. Because when you build this house, people know that you are building a house. They're looking at you. And whereas, as they're looking at you and admiring you, your building is going up and up and up, just like the Tower of Babel. It crumbled. It fell down. There was confusion. It says, great is its fall. The wind of this life that may come and bring this great destruction, friend, it may be the challenges of today, the pressure of life,
because you are building on sinking sand. When the storm comes, where will you be? When the cares of this life attack on you, you will have no balance, my friend. Every form of a problem in this world will give you tears and fear. Every form of a problem in this world, my friend, will shake you. Incidents of this world will bring you to crumble. Financial problems of this world will cause you sleepless nights. Marital problems will cause you to go to Nigeria to a prophet when you are not built on this rock. Health problems of this life will cause you to stand on a queue from 3 a.m. in the morning waiting for the prophet because you are not built on this rock. Singleness of this life, those who are single, when you are not built on the Lord Jesus Christ, singleness of this life will cause you to fall to any scam that is out there just for the sake of getting married. I was showing my wife another picture that I don't think you should see. Another pastor took a couple of women, plus minus 15 to 20 women. He took them to Durban. Says he's going to wash them, wash their case from the sea there. He make them there. Okay, let me not go on. But it's because we are stranded. We are not built on a rock. You think that the man of God must touch you before you get married. Building on sinking sand. We must be built on the rock. But above all, friends, not only will the storm of this life sweep you, not only that, above all, when the true storm of eternal destruction, when they come, you will crumble. When the true storm of eternal destruction or condemnation comes, you'll be crying out to the mountains to fall upon you. You'll be crying to the mountains to hide you from the wrath of the Lamb. The Bible says they will hide in the rocks, just to show you how dangerous the day will be, because we are not built on a rock, on a solid foundation. But I want you to notice another thing that you see in this passage before us. Both these houses that are built, the one that is built on sinking sand and the one that is built on the rock, they are subjects of the same weather condition. The Bible says the winds and the storms will blow on this house. The winds and the storm will blow on this house. So these houses, what we are building here, our faith and the faithlessness of those out there, faces the same weather condition at times. What does that mean, my friend? It tells us that God shows no partiality. He teaches us against the false teachings and the demonic teachings of the false teachers that says when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your life gets better. The storms will hit upon the house that is built on a rock. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't mean your life will be better. It doesn't mean you will prosper and take dominion over your past life and be able to remove all your generational curses, as they say. That is not true, my friend. That is a lie from hell. The storm of life will beat upon you. Don't you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, coming through by this narrow gate, you must know when you come through by this narrow gate, it is connected to a hard way. Not an easy way, a hard way. But what is the difference? Those who endure to the end, those who endure to the end will receive the crown of life. Let us stop receiving lies from people. And today, building on sinking sand, friends, is to build on false promises, to build on human wisdom, to build on human philosophies, to build on man-made strategies of success and prosperity, to build on Christless Christianity, to build on false teachers and their false doctrines and their false prophets, to follow them and support their ungodly ministries. In that way, you will fall to the point of no recognition. Great will be the fall of that house. It will be humiliating, my friend. Everybody will know about your shame. That is why the Bible says, whosoever believes in Christ, whosoever builds on that solid foundation, he will not be put to shame. Praise the Lord for the solid foundation. We will not be put to shame. So, there can be no other ground, my friend, for for your foundation than the rock that is already laid by God. Only in Him we will not be moved. Only in Him we have a bright future on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, my friend, will you then count everything else that you have learned from the false teachers that you see on TV? Will you count all those things as rubbish for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? For that surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ? Will you count all those things as rubbish and garbage if they are not in the Word of God? Will you be found, my friend, having the righteousness that is built on faith, not on men's standards? Will you be found depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on human philosophy? That is to build on a solid foundation, to trust and depend on God. What is your trust? We were talking about Nobabu Myakeni this morning. The testimonies that you hear from Christians on national TV. Come to our church. Since I came to that church, my life has changed. The pastor prayed for me. I was poor, now I'm not poor. The whole testimony, praise the Lord, that's fine. We're not hearing Jesus. Has Jesus changed your life? Are you a new man? Are you a new woman? Are you a new child? Or are you still continuing your sin just as long as you have got a new car? Friends, build on a solid ground. Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, not in human wisdom. But thirdly, I wanted to make this message separate, but I thought I would cram everything down and just speak on these three verses so that we're just done with the Sermon on the Mount. The third point, you must recognize true authority. Please notice that one. It says in verse 28 to 29, and when Jesus finished these sayings or this preaching, the crowd were astonished. The crowd were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as the one who had authority, not as their scribes. So friends, it is easy to claim that we are built, the first point, that we are built on his word. It is easy to claim that. It is also easy to claim that we are built on a solid foundation. We are from Sovereign Grace Bible Church. We are built on a solid foundation. But is that word of the Lord Jesus Christ final authority in your life? Is it final authority in your life? That is the struggle that we have today. Jesus Christ's word not being final authority. Is Christ's word final authority in your life? Is it final authority in your church? That is the question here. That's very important, friends. Because our people, they like to submit to every good idea, even if that good idea is not a godly idea. They like to submit it to men and women who want to claim to have authority over their lives. Men and women who claim to have authority over the weather and they can speak words. Then our people want to submit to that. Christ is the final authority. His word is the final authority. And if you have been listening to the Lord Jesus Christ as he was teaching them in the Sermon on the Mount, you will know what true authority sounds like. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard them say, you have heard it was said, I say. This is what Jesus says. I am the final authority. Although I have not come to overturn the word of God, but to make sure that the word of God stands the test of time, my words are final authority. So if you have been listening to him, you know true authority. And these people here, we are told here, as he was teaching to them, it seems like as he was talking to his disciples, the crowds could hear what he was telling his disciples and they could benefit unto this. That's why the word of God is so beautiful. I might be preaching to you, someone else might be benefiting out there. So the crowd was benefiting from what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. So these people here could sense the life-giving words from what Jesus was saying. This was not the normal staple diet of the scribes and the Pharisees. They say to one another, now we know only Jesus' words are authority. The scribes may be eloquent on their speech, but only Jesus' words are life-changing words. Words which cause conviction and conversion of sin. Words which bring about regeneration are the words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Words which brings amazement in the heart of a sinner. They were amazed. They were astonished. They were sitting there and say, you know what? I was blind. Now I can see. I was lost. Now I am found. Because of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself, my friend, is the very word of God. He's the thought of God. Only his words are authority. Only he speaks words which becomes. You have today these people who says when they speak words, they become those words, which is a lie. You bring them to test. Let's see if it happened. No. Church, only Jesus' words are words that he speaks and they become. Through his word, he formed this word, this world. Through his word, he has regenerated your stony hearts. Jesus' words become. Only his words change things and make it the way he wants it to be. Only his tongue has power. We have people say we have power in our tongues. That's a long story. We'll get to that one day. But Jesus Christ's words have real power. I'm not saying, friends, we cannot speak under quotation mark, life in another person's life. You cannot encourage a person. That's what I'm saying. You cannot say some words that will change a person's mind. No, that is true Christianity. You can tell me something that actually God has laid in your heart that actually I was looking for an answer. That is a different question. But the tongue that has got power is the tongue of Jesus alone. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 30, verse 63. We read this thing before. The words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are what? They are life. My words are not spirit. My words are not life. As I'm speaking here before you, I'm speaking the words of God. He's using me as an instrument. Should I speak any of my words, it will not do anything to you. It might confuse you and mislead you. But only God's word, Jesus' word, brings life. And today, friends, it is the Bible, the Word of God, that is final authority in our lives. It is final authority, not the pastor, not the man of God, not the prophet, not the church board, because there are churches who've got church board. That is not the final word. The final authority, my friend, is the Word of God. That is why you need to be in a Bible teaching church. A church that holds the Bible as something of great importance. What matters most is what the Bible says, what God says. You need to be in that church. Praise the Lord, you are in that church. You can clap hands for yourself whenever you get time. But I want you to notice, friends, it is the crowd here, like I was saying, that notice the difference between what Jesus was saying compared to what the scribes and the Pharisees were saying. This crowd says there's a difference in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the normal teachings of the land. He's not like our scribes. How amazing that is. The Bible says they were amazed. Jesus was different from the teachings of the world. It's amazing that today the Jesus we have, friends, is no longer different from the teachings of the world. The Jesus we have today speaks like Lekanyana. No, it's not different. Because of the chaotic, charismatic word of faith movement that has diminished the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. We have a Jesus who's like the scribe. Jesus who makes foolish predictions that doesn't come to pass. Jesus who delights on motivational speaking, my friends, rather than the truth of God. That is not the Christ of the Bible. Jesus who speaks so much great about the Holy Spirit, but goes on TV and on a radio and blasting the very same Holy Spirit. That is not the Jesus of the Word. There is no authority in that, but only manipulations. We need true authority, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus Christ of manipulations. No. The true Jesus did not speak like scribes. So says the word of God. His word, in other words, does not end in the mind. Here's the difference, my friend. His word does not end in the mind. His word does not just enlighten your mind and make you excited. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ penetrates through the human soul. It searches those dark parts of your heart His word caused life and sustained that life. And in the same way today, those who are the true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, they speak the word of Christ that gives life and sustain the life. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen to Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. Just listen quickly. Because our gospel came to you not only in words, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and full of conviction. That is the true word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes in power. Not just words. Not just speaking to entertain one another. It comes in power. And that power, you see it by convicting and converting men's heart. Turning sinners into saints. Pulling a man from the garbage of sin unto God's marvelous light. The word of Christ has power. Paul says, our ways, the servants of God's word, comes in power. But notice again, the last part of the verse, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. So Paul says, not only did you preach the word, but we were different kinds of men. There was authority upon us. We were not like the men of the world. There was something different about us. Of course we brought good news to you. Of course we brought news that will bring you to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preached it to you, but there was a difference. We were different. We were not like the sangomas of the day. We were not like the thieves of the day. We were different. Paul says spiritual life is created through God's word. So we held God's word into a very high position in our lives. That was the difference. We were different from everyone because we know that spiritual life is created through the word of God. It is through preaching the word of God, that the Spirit of God will make change in the life of a believer. You want a life change? You need the word of God. True authority in your life. Authority is not in your tongue. Authority is in the word of God. Only the word of God is that authentic Christian authority. Only the word of God is that most powerful force in this universe. The word of God. Verse 28 says, he left the crowd astonished. He left the crowd speechless, as it were. That is what should amaze you when you come to listen to the word of God. The word of God itself. Not miracles and wonders. Jesus performed miracles and wonders. These miracles and wonders that he performed, they revealed who he was. The Son of God, who can change water into wine. The long-awaited Messiah, who has to come into the world and save his elect. This is the one. The miracles authenticate the messianic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what matters most was the power of his word. That's what changed everything. The people, the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't hate him for the miracles. They didn't care about me. They even asked him, perform another miracle. Let's see. The difference was the word. Why is this man speaking different than us? Why he claims to be greater than Moses? Moses spoke to us. Here's the man speaking to us. That was the difference. That is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter number 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes. It is the power of salvation. Only the word of Christ is final authority. This is the word, friends, that form a true miracle. The word of God brings eternal life in your heart. The word of God changes you and gives you a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart filled with the Spirit of God. Only the word form true miracles. The word of God brings to life, life from death. The word of God separates lies from the truth. The word of God sets the captives free. The word of God liberates from demon possession. You want to know how you're going to be free from your demons if you're demon possessed? Believe on the word of God and you will be free, my friends. The Spirit of God will come and rest into your heart. And there is no way that where the Spirit of God, a demon, can also take position. It's impossible. Once Jesus Christ comes into your life and takes over your life, there is no room for a demon to stay. You need the word of God. I'm not saying we must not pray for people who are not what demon possessed. That's not the point. You will be demon possessed again tomorrow. That is why they keep praying every week. because you pray and you pray. Believe on the word of Jesus. Have final authority into your life. You will be free from demons, my friend. We have a family friend who told us, me and my wife, says, you know what? I will not stop going to church until they take out this demon out of me. We ask, are you having a demon? I suspect I have a demon. She keeps going to church because she must be released from a demon. When are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him crucified on that cross, dying for you? When is that going to happen? Final authority is not my hand upon your head. It is the word of God upon your heart. The Bible says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe on Him whom they have never heard? Someone needs to hear, so someone needs to preach. And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? We need the word, the final authority. The reason why most churches in our day suffer false conversion is because there is no true preaching behind the pulpit. Christmas stories, bedtime stories. In those so-called Reformed churches, some of them, it's just a running commentary behind the pulpit. Things that I can read myself on the internet. I need the word. We need the word of God. God have mercy on us. We need true preaching. A word that will melt people's heart and bring them unto salvation. A word that will be preached and people will say, gentlemen, pastor, friends, my elders, what shall I do? Then we say, repent. Turn away from your sin. May Christ enter into your heart as you believe in Him. We need a word that is a life-changing word. Final authority upon my heart must be the word of God. Only the word of God can turn my life around and cast away all the evil spirit in me if I have. We need true preaching. Only the word, friend, will teach us the ways of God. It will teach us all the qualities of being a loving and a faithful husband and a faithful wife and obedient children. Only the word of God. Only the word of God will introduce you and keep you in the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the word of God will grow you personally, my friend. The word of God will grow you. It is not anything else but the word of God that will even grow this church. Not dancing, not singing. It is good to sing, and we're going to sing and we're going to dance in context. But only the word will build your life, and the word will build this house of God. It will grow you. Only the word of God will grow our Sunday schools. Not teaching them to speak in gibberish and claim that is tongues. The word of God. And the reason why people are seeking other authorities, not the authority of God today. You know why? Romans 8 verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God. Indeed it cannot. That is the reason people want another authority, because their minds are set on the things of this world. People in the churches, our churches are filled with people who are not spiritually minded. People who are worldly minded. They have the minds of the world. And they think of the things of the world. They want things that will please their body. Ear tinkling messages. And that, friend, is a sign of an unconverted heart. It is a sign of a corrupt soul, motivated by self-love, not the love of God. God must be the final authority. And friends, if God then is the final authority, if His word is the final authority, are you prioritizing the word of God in your life? Is the word of God being prioritized in your church? You need to check these things. We must not just talk it. And I'm glad that you are checking, which is why we come each and every week. But that is the message that we should send out there. Do we prioritize the word of God? Is your church prioritizing the word of God? Is it final authority? Here it is, final authority. Not me, not Elder Russ, the word of God. We love the word of God here at Sovereign Grace Bible Church. We sing the word of God joyfully. We listen to the word of God gladly. We preach it with passion. It doesn't bore us. We love it. Let me conclude like this. We are all builders, like I mentioned before. But friends, as we are all builders, build by the word of God. Because the test of your faith is coming. And it can be today. It can be tomorrow. It can be actually in any form that you didn't expect. It can be through trials of this life. The question is then, when those trials of life, when the troubles of this life comes, where is your hiding place? Who is your strength and your refuge, my friend? When temptation comes, how will you overcome such temptation outside the word of God? You need to hear and do the word of God. You need to love the word of God. You need to obey His commandment. You need to love His teaching. You need to listen to the word of God, not the advices from the false teachers who will encourage you to continue to do according to your desires. We need the word. Let the final authority in our lives be the word of God. The final authority to guide your life. The final authority to secure your building, your faith. May it be the word of God. And may Christ Himself richly dwell in your heart and be that final authority. And make that firm desire in your heart. What desire? Desire for godliness. Build on the rock. Build on that cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Build upon Him, because all other ground is sinking sand. When the storm of this life comes, may you be found building or built on a rock. May you be found not building on sinking sand. He says, you have listened to me throughout now. This is what you need to do. Stay with me. Remain with me. Build upon me. May my word be final authority in your life. Not men, not false teachers, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.